Update. Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Fueled by Frank and Honest Gourmet Coffee. The perfect blend to kickstart your day. Barista quality coffee available at Centra and Supervalue.
Now it is 22 minutes past 11. It is Wednesday. And that means it is...
Warning.
The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
Your weekly dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook, our resident sex and relationship expert. She's on the line. Hi, Rachel. How's it going?
Morning, Jen. I'm brilliant, thanks. What
good.
Have we got today?
Well, there's always so many people always email into the show, but we need to talk about something in particular. We're always very sex positive on the show, but for you guys out there, what if you find sex painful and feel, let's say, excluded when people talk about the fun they're having in the bedroom? So you're going to help us with people who find sex painful, isn't that right?
That's what we're on today. Yeah,
that's what we're on today. Yeah, is it common? Is it? I mean, how common is it, Rachel?
It is unbelievably common. I would say that about 90% of people with vaginas have experienced painful sex at least once. I would say probably about 10% experience it regularly. Now, people with penises, it's far less than that, but still common. And basically, we don't see representations of people experiencing sexual pain, people of any gender, in the media. So, you know, it's something that is hugely underreported and so unbelievably widespread. And because of that, people often feel very isolated and ashamed and embarrassed about it. And so they don't know what to do. They don't know who to talk to. And then also people have had a lot of experiences of going to doctors and either being told that there's nothing wrong with them and being dismissed, or they will be told that something, they will be given a diagnosis, but then it turns out that it doesn't help them and they're still in pain and then they feel stuck.
Now, we've discussed this for men and women before in the show, but why is it more common for women?
I think there's just a lot of different, based on, you know, the vaginal and vulval structures, there's just a lot more possibility of things like vaginal dryness, of various different things relating to, it could be childbirth, it can be congenital issues that people are born with, it can be just not really knowing, understanding our own bodies and also just not having the education there. So there's just a lot more things, I suppose, that tend to affect vaginas than affect penises. So it's not to say that people with penises don't experience pain, but just that it seems to be far, far more common for those of us with vaginas.
With vaginas, yeah. Now, you mentioned there dryness and childbirth, but what are some more symptoms?
God, there's so many, because there's so many different types of pain. You know, for some people, it's only with sexual penetration. For some people, it's any penetration, which could include, a tampon. Some people experience a very specific kind of deep pain during thrusting of sex. Then it can be burning, searing, tingling, stinging, itching, aching, feeling that something is ripped or torn, throbbing pain, which can last hours after sex. It could be also, it might be in the vulva, more around the opening of the vagina, or obviously it can be inside. Then it could also be the perineum, which is the area between the vagina or the penis and the bum. You know, that's another common site of pain. And then you can also feel it in your lower back or sort of pelvic area, uterus, or even bladder. So there's loads of places that people can be, and loads of types of pain, and then loads of different things that can cause it as well.
Yeah, well, I just want to touch on that for a sec, because apart from childbirth, but what are the other things that can cause it?
Yeah, so we've got something called dyspareunia, which is an umbrella term, which is a bit annoying because it can cover so many things. But it's basically recurrent or persistent genital pain related to penetration or attempted penetration during sex. So that pain can be within the vagina or sort of deep in the pelvis. And then you've got loads of different kinds of infections that can cause, you know, redness, itching, burning, or stinging, which is called, you know, basically that is called vulvitis. But that can be caused by loads of things, which could be thrush, a UTI, or an STI such as chlamydia or gonorrhea or genital herpes. Then we've got vaginismus, which is a condition where the muscles in or around the vagina constrict very tightly, which can make sex painful or even impossible. Then there's some skin disorders, which can result in ulcers or cracks in the skin, like contact dermatitis, eczema. Some people have a reaction to You know, substances or fabrics, or, you know, it could be soaps or lubricants or even latex. You've got another one called vulvodynia. That's a pain disorder specifically affecting the vulva, which is when the pain is confined to the vestibule, which is the area around the opening of the vagina. And that can be called vulvar vestibulitis syndrome. And then we've got hormonal changes. So like we talked about with vaginal dryness. So a lot of people will experience a drop in estrogen levels during perimenopause and menopause, after childbirth or during breastfeeding. Not enough lubrication in general. That's a bloody huge one. I'll go back to banging on about lube. And then we have certain illnesses and conditions. So you've got endometriosis, pelvic inflammatory disease, uterine prolapse, which is one that I would love to talk about, maybe more another time. But, you know, just something that is so very, very common and really not talked about because people are so embarrassed and don't have the information. And then other things like we've got IBS, uterine fibroids, hemorrhoids, ovarian cysts, even constipation can cause it. And then you've also got surgeries and medical treatments that can cause it. And then, of course, all sorts of emotional or psychological reasons that can cause us to stress out and constrict and or be not lubricated. So
Jesus,
there you have
Christ,
a whole range of things.
Oh, my God. That sounds like a lot of people are suffering. Can you fix most of it? Not fix, but is there treatment for most of these?
There is, for sure. You know, for most people, I would say absolutely, you know, take a bit of time to figure out what it is that is actually what are you experiencing? You know, what is the type of pain? Exactly when does it happen? How strong is it? How long does it last? All of these sorts of things. And then go to a doctor. You know, it's probably not a good idea to start Googling and researching because everything comes to, you know, you'll often find you get drawn to the worst case scenarios. So, you know, go to a doctor, but I would say try and figure out, especially if you can get a referral from someone who's been to a doctor or someone who seems to very highly specialize in, you know, sexual pain.
Yeah.
And in general, sort of genital pain. And if you go to one doctor and you don't feel listened to, go to another. Don't leave it there. You know, that is such a common experience that someone will feel dismissed or they'll be embarrassed and they will then go, ah, look, I'm just going to leave this. This is too much for me.
And
then they
awful.
Suffer on.
And they suffer awful. On in silence. I just got a text in. Jen, thank you for doing this item. I have vaginismus and attempted to lose my virginity about 5 times while in university, but was unable to do so. Thought there was something wrong with me till I went for a smear test. And it was explained to me with sex education, we should also explain that pain can happen and your partner needs to be aware of that. You would want to see the awful reaction some men had when I said I couldn't have sex because of pain.
Awful. Yes, really, really common, you know, and this is why this education needs to happen for people of all genders. This is not something that should be just, you know, people with vaginas learning about for themselves. It's like this is, you know, sex pain, sexual pain and genital pain can affect people of all genders anyway.
Mm.
But I think that, you know, if you're having sex with someone with a vagina, you need to know about what can happen with that person's body.
Yeah. Another text in, Jen, lube is the answer to so many problems. Rachel is so right. I couldn't have sex without lube. And some men think that you only need it if you're not in the mood, but some people need it every time and there's nothing wrong with that. Now, would lube help the problem of vaginismus?
It can do, but usually with vaginismus, because you're looking at constricted muscles, sometimes lube can help a little bit because it can have someone's body not go into a kind of a shock and shutdown response by clamping in, you know, out of a type of fear and anxiety. But that often what will happen is people with vaginismus will go and they will have, sometimes they'll do some sex therapy or sometimes through their GP or doctor, they will start to use dilators, which are like, you know, small things that you can insert in sort of graded sizes going up. So you start with something very small so that you just basically get your body used to being able to have something inserted in, you know, kind of incremental sizes, which can help a lot. So, yeah, lube can sometimes help. But also, yeah, just as that texter said there, you know, a lot of people, there's a big difference between your sexual attraction and your sex drive compared to your sexual your physiological arousal. So someone can be very mentally, psychologically, emotionally turned on, but potentially their body, for all sorts of reasons, isn't lubricating as much as it maybe could or would feel comfortable. So, you know, we just need to be okay with lube.
We need to be okay with lube. You're right? Queen Lube. You're going to bring out your own lube at Christmas time. I'm really hoping that's going to happen.
That's what they call me. Well, remember last Christmas, my dad bought me lube. After you did the play with me saying this lube. So many bloody times.
Lube. You're a big advocate for lube. But look, we've had guests who avoid relationships altogether because they just don't want to have to explain their issues to a new partner. They feel embarrassed or whatever. Have you had clients like that?
Loads, so many, you know, and that's what we do a lot of the time. It's really hard because not only is the person going through all the discomfort, suffering, you know, fear around their own condition and pain, and then also feeling like they have to then risk being dismissed, made fun of, or ignored by their, you know, sexual partners or potential sexual partners. So, you know, a lot of what we will do together is practicing and role playing how to share that in a way that doesn't take a huge amount of emotional labor, where you can share something with the person but basically get them to go off, you know your sexual partner or potential to go off and do a bit of research themselves. You know, you can give them a bit of information, especially if it's, you know, specific to you. The person isn't going to be telepathic or psychic,
yeah,
but that actually they can go off and do a bit of that reading themselves. And so that you can then come back together and talk about it a bit more to figure out how you can make it as comfortable and enjoyable for everyone involved.
Can we talk about postnatal for a second?
Sure can.
Can I ask you, how long after birth can someone have sex?
Well, most doctors advise not to put anything in the vagina for about 6 weeks birth.
Yeah.
But in saying that, it is incredibly varied. I know that many, many people would not feel remotely comfortable for at least twice that. And some people are a lot closer to a year or even longer. So, you know, I would say wait at least 6 weeks for various reasons just to let yourself heal enough. But then again, there are some people who will get back into action before that. And that can be OK, too, if you feel OK with that. But basically, you know, that's for an uncomplicated birth. Lots of people will tear vaginally during birth and will have, you know, just more caution when returning to sex, because there's a lot of different types of tears that range in severity. You've got a first degree tear that's small and involves the skin around the vaginal opening or the perineal skin. Then you've got a second degree tear, which involves the perineal muscles between the vagina and the anus. And then you've also got a third degree tear, which involves perineal muscles to the anal muscles and may even require, you know, surgery in the months following childbirth. So, you know, even that, a lot of people are not given this information. They may not have read about it beforehand. So you've got to, you know, sort of figure out exactly what's going on with your body and how you feel emotionally about it all. But yeah, basically listen to your body, chat to your partner, check in with yourself and see how you are.
Can I ask you, just with, you know, you speak to a lot of people about these kind of issues anyway, is the biggest thing that they tend to just, do people tend to ignore it and hopefully it'll go away by itself? I mean, does it take them a long time to get to you?
I suppose, well, especially when you're looking at having had a child, for God's sake, you know, it's like people are absolutely exhausted. And so, you know, everything, even thought of sex can be draining. You know, everything is sort of stacked against new parents, and especially, you know, those who've actually had the child. So, you know, there's the lingering pain from delivery, the hormones, possible postnatal depression, body changes, and just being absolutely exhausted. And you might also feel touched out after, you know, holding and cuddling a baby much of the day. Touched out, you know. So some people will still have a sex drive, but the idea of being touched by their partner, even though mentally it doesn't bother them, physically you can feel repulsed, you can just feel extremely tired by that, you can just really feel like avoiding it. So, you know, I think there's a lot of things going on after childbirth, as you well know. So it is, yeah, something that, you know, people will usually just shy away from because it just feels like so much extra effort. And then, you know, sometimes that will go away on its own, but often it doesn't. And then you might find that you're just feeling a very different dynamic, maybe with your partner. One or both of you is feeling resentful or pressured, or you just feel really disconnected, which is not something that you want to be feeling, you know, especially with a child.
Somebody texts me saying, Jen, I had a episiotomy during childbirth and I have reoccurring pain when I'm sitting down.
Oh,
have you heard
so
of that? What is that?
Yeah. So when you've had an episiotomy, you know, that you've basically been cut in order to allow the baby through during a vaginal birth, which is now done less and less for various reasons, but still some people will have it.
Yeah.
And that can just mean that you don't, you know, often people don't heal adequately. And so there can be all sorts of reasons why that can cause very specific types of pain that are sometimes not related to sex. As this person texts, it can be when you're sitting down, it can be standing, it can be in very particular positions. That can feel like a niggling, burning sensation. It can feel like a very deep pain in, you know, in the pelvis, sort of aching. It can seem like it comes at random, but often that's to do with the internal structures not having healed properly. So sometimes, especially if you can get to see someone very specialized and experienced with this, you'll find that they might give you certain exercises. Okay. It could be, sometimes it can be an infection that can be sorted out with antibiotics. Sometimes it will require, you know, a small
procedure.
Surgery.
Yeah.
But exactly. And you can have procedures. So
go see the right vag doctor.
Exactly. And do not accept any pain as a new normal. You do not need to be in pain, and you also do not need to feel pressured to have sex. You know, I would say to anyone, don't advise leaving it going on and on while you're suffering and just hoping it's going to get better, or accepting that you'll be in pain. But also don't feel pressured to have sex if it doesn't feel right, and especially penetrative sex. There are all sorts of other ways to really enjoy sex without PIV or penis to vagina penetration.
Yeah, you're always talking about that. Back to the lube, always. Got a text in. Can you make homemade lube with coconut water or tomato sauce even? Is that
tomato
true?
Tomato sauce, probably not. I'm going to say you're going to have raging thrush after that.
Yeah.
Coconut water, no, but coconut oil is a great one. Just don't use it with condoms, because oil will break down latex, or can break down or degrade it. But that absolutely most kinds of, some kinds of oil can work. But I would say, again, if you're mixing it from the kitchen where it might already be contaminated with cooking and things, maybe don't want to go straight to the bedroom with that. But coconut oil is my personal favourite.
Okay. Yeah, we know you love a bit of that. Now you're going to get coconut oil off your dad and your stocking for Christmas.
Ew.
Sorry. Rachel Cook, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being on the show again today. We'll chat to you next Wednesday.
Talk to you, Jen.
Thanks, love. Bye. That is Rachel Cook, psychotherapist and mental health consultant. She's an absolute star and always a fountain of knowledge. You can actually follow Rachel on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook with an E on the end. And she'll be back next week. So if you have any questions, or if there's anything you would like us to talk to her about, she's amazing. Just get in touch with the team 24/7. Send me your thoughts to jen@rte.ie. We'll be back right after this.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.